We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Week 3 DFS OGs podcast. I am your host, Fear, as always, joined by my boys, Head Chopper and Notorious, breaking down everything here in Week 3. Taking a look back at Week 2, but we will be giving you some of our favorite plays on the DFS side, as well as some of our favorite bets out of the FanDuel Sportsbook. Thank you to FanDuel, as always, for sponsoring the show. And speaking of FanDuel, guys, FanDuel.com/OG. Come play against us. If you're listening to me right now, stop what you're doing. Go secure your entry in our contest, a season-long contest with a daily twist, weekly contest, weekly payouts, just a $7 buy-in here. Everybody gets one lineup, only 500 spots in this thing, and prizes for the winners. The top 10 scores count in this contest. So let's fill this baby up this week, FanDuel.com/OG. Guys, week two is in the books. Noto, I'm going to start with you. Hopefully a better week two. I know we all kind of struggled in week one, but how did week two treat you and how we doing, my man?
Yeah, certainly wasn't as bad as week one. So that's a positive. I ended up doing pretty well in our FanDuel contest. I think I finished top 40 or something, but a lot of room to make up after that pitiful week one performance. The bets were a little bit better, and then I had a terrible 3v3 swap. In my main lineup on DraftKings, I think it was like a 60-point swap right before lock. So getting there, getting a little bit better. Hopefully week three will be the best yet.
Yeah, knocking a little rust off. Better week two for me as well. Picks were solid. Lineups, no major wins, no million-dollar wins. Chop, but how was your week two? How we doing, brother?
It was doing all right. It was better than week one. It certainly wasn't great, but it was definitely – that was a low bar, though, to set in week one. Right. But, you know, when you're just playing tournaments, that's the one thing that, you know, people kind of don't realize sometimes about the tournaments is if that's all you're playing and you're not playing cash games and a guy like Derrick Henry goes for 50 points and you don't really have him, you're not going to win anything. Like, you may min cash some stuff, but – if any individual player goes for that kind of a game and you're not on him, then you're not winning. So you just deal with things like that. But I didn't have any Henry, so I was left out in the cold for tournaments. But Yeah, like I said, better than week one, though, man.
Yeah, for sure. So we're getting there, improving. Josh Duck already in the chat. Henry killed a lot of people. If you didn't have Henry, didn't have Cooper Kupp. I mean, those were the two you had to have in week two. So we're going to hopefully identify the guys you need here in week three again with some of our favorite bets. We'll highlight who did well in our OGs contest as we go along and take a look at some of the best finishers there. Or do we want to take a look at that now, Chop? What do we got going here in the
leaderboard? I just threw up the leaderboard. This is what we're doing, guys. Like, this is what's going to happen, you know, when you enter this contest every week. Your score is going to be, like, I don't know if people kind of understand it just by listening to it. Sometimes you need to visualize it. There's a leaderboard every week, and we're keeping track of everything. And at the end of the year, there's a lot of extra money that's going to go out to this leaderboard. Now, this leaderboard is going to constantly change because they're going to drop scores, and you don't have to be in it every week. You know, half your games that you play aren't even going to count. So you can miss half the season and still be at the top of this leaderboard at the very end. So just visualizing it. Plus, I wanted to throw up, there's a guy in 12th, man. I can't believe, how did this guy sneak in 12th place on us?
Yeah, familiar name there in 12th. So, you know, we'll see what happens with him. We got to climb this leaderboard. But again, can find this all at FanDuel.com/OG. Easy way to track it. And the beauty of this, like Chop said, it's only your top 10 scores. So if you're sitting out there, you're listening, I haven't played the first 2 weeks, it's not going to hurt you at all. We got 18 weeks this season. You missed the first two, so what? I guarantee you all three of our week one scores are getting tossed anyway. So jump in, whether you've played both, whether you just started last week, or whether you're just starting now, not too late here. And as he said, some great prizes at the end. Somebody's going to walk away with $5,000. I don't know anybody out there that can't use $5,000 just for playing in this thing. So let's fill this baby up. Reserve a lineup. Only 500 spots available. So we'll take a look back at week two later on in the show. Highlight some of the big winners here. But what do we got on top here? Jay Mario sitting up top. 311.06. So good start for him here to open up the first 2 weeks. So, guys, anything before we get into the slate of games? Anything for the people here? We just want to jump in and start covering the games.
A lot of games again. I think we just get to it.
All right, let's get to it. First game on the docket for us going to be New Orleans and New England. New England, 3-point home favorites here in this game. 41.5 here on the total. So, Chop, we saw New England look very well, pretty much shut down Zach Wilson, the rookie there, a bunch of turnovers, as we thought. I think most of them were on the under in that game. New Orleans, they come out and throttle Green Bay in week one. Then we see a big step back, Chop. I know you're a Jameis Winston stan, so I got to ask the question, are you concerned? Was it just a one-game low? Because it's another tough matchup here. Carolina shut them down pretty good. Now going to New England, another tough matchup here. So are we worried about Jameis Winston here? Tough spot going to New England.
Well, I'm worried about Jameis in the fact that you won't catch me playing, I mean, hardly any quarterback or wide receivers against this defense this year. I just won't do it. So I'm out on those guys this week. I'm not necessarily worried about him long term. He just doesn't have any receivers. Like, he's got nothing there. Like, his number one, can we name his number one guy? It might be Juwan Johnson. Who knows? That's terrible, right? So No, Michael Thomas is a big deal, man. So I'm out on these guys. Alvin Kamara hasn't played well in two games. He hasn't done nearly what we thought he was going to do. Having the reins to himself in this offense. So I don't like this offense this week. New England's okay, but man, you'd be hard pressed to find another game manager like Mac Jones. Like, that's all he is. Yeah, there's no upside there, right? He's going to have some games this year, maybe a game or two, and especially in his career, he'll have a few games where puts up big numbers. But, man, this guy's a game manager. I finally watched that full game here the other day, and, he's really quick to throw the ball away, not take any chances. That's not good for fantasy. So this is rough, man. This is a rough game for fantasy purposes. So I'm just sticking my foot in the ground with New England here, taking New England with the spread.
I'm going to go for the block here. I'm also taking New England, Chop. I know you love to hear that. They're playing well right now. And we know Belichick is very good at taking out the opposing team's best player, Derek. There's really only one guy he's really got to worry about. Chop mentioned the lack of receiving weapons. they cancel out Kamara. I just don't see how New Orleans even scores any points. Those receivers are absolutely terrible. Jameis, very turnover prone. So I like the New England defense here as well. I kind of like the under here on this game, but I'm going to go with New England -3. As far as DFS plays, maybe it's Damian Harris on a FanDuel paired with New England's D. Maybe it's James White on a DraftKings. I just don't see a whole lot here DFS-wise in this game. What do you got, Noto?
Yeah, like what you said there about, shut down Alvin Kamara. You probably shut down the Saints. The Carolina Panthers probably did that well last week, and we know that's what Bill Belichick is going to try to do here. So I agree with you. Very little to like on the New Orleans side. And then even on New England, I mean, I don't know who I'm going to trust here. You mentioned Harris, but he's still playing 50% of the snaps. Very game script dependent type of running back with James White getting all the pass work. So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go New England as well for the first leg of the OG parlay. And then maybe some New England defense for DFS.
Yep, I like it for sure. Kind of an ugly game. So we're going to go from that to one that should be an absolute shootout here. Next game we have Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Chargers 6.5 point underdogs. Chiefs favorite, obviously, at home. Big 55.5 point total on this one, Derek. And Chiefs coming off a tough loss. Lamar Jackson and company got it done there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, costly fumble there down the stretch. Do you think that affects his role here? I know he's pretty cheap across the industry at some of the sites. I actually saw him down to 4,800 on DraftKings. So we can talk about that. As far as the Chargers go, tough loss to the Dallas Cowboys. I know Chop's loving that one, but you know it's the same old cast of characters here with the Chargers. Herbert's look good. Mike Williams has been phenomenal. Keenan Allen, I really like Austin Eckler in this spot. So it's one of those, it doesn't take a genius to tell you, play everybody in this game, Derek. How are you handling this one? Are there any plays to differentiate from the pack here?
Yeah, play everyone. I do think it makes some sense to kind of stay away from Edwards-Helaire. We'll see if it ends up, hurting his snap share after he lost that fumble. He is very cheap on DraftKings, but I don't think you need him on FanDuel. I think you play Mahomes. I think you play Kelce and Tyreek. And then I don't hate Mecole Hardman. He's kind of the number two now. He had a 20% higher snap share than DeMarcus Robinson last week. So perhaps he's a guy you can look to in tournaments. On the other side, I agree with you. I think Eckler is the play there. 63% snap rate in week two. So up from week one, he's clearly the pass catching back in the offense. We know they're going to be trailing. At least, that's what Vegas is telling us. So I like Eckler. Love everyone on the Chiefs. And Keenan Allen, I'm just a sucker for him. I play him every week. He's going to get double-digit targets. So, yeah, I like that as well. And then my bet, I'm going to go with the under. Even though I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this one, it's a divisional game. We've seen these two teams, kind of get stuck in the mid to high 40s when they've met up the past couple of years. So I'll take the under, even though I like a lot of it for DFS.
I'm also on the under here. Pretty big number with these two teams. Kansas City, generally pretty good defensively at home here. And both teams, if LA can start running the ball a little bit, maybe try to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines. I don't think you want to get in a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs, no matter who you are. Even the firepower that the Chargers may have, I think they're going to try to do their best to slow this game down a little bit. So I also like the under in this game. If you are in the chat, you want to talk to us, we'll see your comments. Let us know. Talking everything week three here. So already got some guys in the chat talking. Matt Corsetti, Czar, Josh Duck. So welcome to everybody. The week three party here is open and live. So get with us here in the chat if you have any questions. Chop, over to you again. This one, pretty simple. Tons of ways to go. Travis Kelce in a smash spot here. A bunch of ways you can go with the Chargers. How are you handling this one, and what is your favorite bet here with Chargers and Chiefs?
Yeah, this one, like all of it for fantasy is just good. I can't sit here and try to pinpoint one or two players. I think they're all good. You just got to find the right combination in this game. I think there's a lot of points scored. To the Clyde Edwards question, is it going to hurt him fumbling the ball like that? Man, it's either going to do one of two things. I don't think there's an in-between. They're either going to, they were already kind of pulling back on him a little bit. He hadn't been very good this year. So maybe they pull back a lot more and they become really pass happy and just no running the ball at all. Or it has the opposite effect. They say, Clyde's our guy. We're sticking with him. And here you go. We're going to pound the ball some more. So it could help him out actually in the long run. But for this game, I think it's going to be all passing. And so I got the over in this game. I'm taking the over.
All right, over there, two unders and an over, so nothing to add to the parlay card. Should be a fun game regardless. And Derek, it's hard sometimes to bet an under on Kansas City though, with the way they can score the football. But like you mentioned, some of those games that they play divisional opponents, they know each other well. Sometimes those tend to lean to the under. So we'll see there. Next game for us here, we have Washington traveling to Buffalo. Buffalo, very impressive. I thought Miami would give him a game. Tua goes down. I don't think that had much to do with it. A 35-0 throttling there. So Washington coming to town here, Chop. A big spread here. We got Buffalo -8.5 at home. Total sitting at 45.5. Kind of been a rough start. I wouldn't even say rough. Maybe just slightly underwhelming for Josh Allen and company so far. Haven't seen that big game. Now, there's some out there going to tell you the Washington defense is legit. There's some going to tell you they're overrated. So where do you come out here? Do we want to attack this team with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, maybe the running backs? Or are you worried about the matchup here with the football team?
Yeah, this is a tough one. This is a tough one to figure out. I would have thought the Washington defense was legit coming into the year. But, man, after what they let Daniel Jones do to him on Thursday night, I'm a little worried. So I don't know about this one. And then Josh Allen, you know, some tough games to start the year here. Pittsburgh, Miami, and now he's got Washington. So it's not easy, right? I'm sure he'll right the ship here and get going eventually. I don't know if this is the week or not because that Washington defense scares me. But on the other hand, I think they're overrated. It's tough. I won't play any Washington players traveling on the road in Buffalo against a pretty good defense with an average quarterback at best. And I'm not sure I want to load up on Buffalo against this defense. Maybe Diggs. Maybe Diggs is the answer. But otherwise, I think I'm going to have to take the points here and go with Washington. Just a lot of points there for what I think is still a pretty quality team in Washington. That's just a lot of points.
Job, you're not going to like my answer here. I'm also on Washington. I'm going to have to start giving my picks first.
So no, it's okay, like I'm man.
Just,
it's okay.
I'm just blocking you out here. But I agree. I think Washington can stay competitive in this game. The line seems a little higher. I don't know if that has something to do with last week and the big win by Buffalo. But Derek Heineke been pretty solid. We know he's not going to be afraid of this spot. He's going to attack. I know McLaurin has a tough matchup with Tre'Davious White. But they still have a lot of weapons. I think Gibson gets it going here. We're seeing McKissick worked in the offense a little bit more. Point is, I think they can compete here. As far as DFS, I don't have a ton of interest in this game. I agree with Diggs. I'll sprinkle in some Josh Allen. Washington, as much as I like those guys here, I think they can compete. We have 13, 14 games to choose from. So sometimes you can pick your spots. But I do think Washington competes, so I'm going to take the points here as well. Derek, what do you got here, football team in Buffalo?
I want to try to make up some ground. I'll go with Buffalo here. I know we have a lot of respect for Washington's defense, but Buffalo's offense, they haven't done anything yet. I think they're going to break out sooner rather than later. I know, it's a tough matchup on paper, but Allen's going to have a big game. I don't mind pairing him up with Diggs for some low on stacks. I don't really think we need to do a whole lot with this game in terms of DFS, though. Gibson, tough matchup. 2 weeks in, Buffalo's first against the run, third against the pass, one of the better adjusted sack rates as well. So tough matchup on paper. I know it's a small sample, but I think Buffalo kind of dominates this one.
All right, let's take a look at the standings real quick. I'm sure you two don't want to hear this portion of the program, but we do have a bet, so we have to keep it live and fresh for the people. Derek picked up 5 last week, brings you up to 8. Chop with 6 last week, up to 9. And I also had 6, taking me to 14 for the season. So we'll continue to update that leaderboard as we go along and see who takes home our OG's betting bet there at the end of the year.
How was the parlay card?
I'd have to go back and look. Let's see. Let's take a quick look here. Back to
I know it got beat because we were all on Cleveland and they just came out flat.
Yes, they did. That definitely was one of them. So I actually don't have it written down from last week. So that's the thing with the parlay. Once Cleveland messed it up, it didn't matter anymore. So Cleveland definitely let us down. So Josh Duck back in the chat. Lamar might be his favorite quarterback. We're going to get to him. I know there's some Mahomes talk there in the chat. Eric Robertson, Henry and Cup say, yeah, Henry and Cup were definitely key last week, Eric. So glad you were on them. All right, guys, Let's move to the next game, and we got some big news earlier today. Looks like Justin Fields going to take over here as the quarterback for the Bears. That'll be our next game. Chicago traveling to Cleveland here, and Derek, tough spot here for the rookie. Now, he's going back to Ohio, a former Ohio State player, so maybe he's got family friends here in the stands. Cleveland's defense has kind of underwhelmed a little bit, so maybe the matchup isn't as daunting as we thought, but we hope this can light a fire under your boy Allen Robinson, who's kind of been underperforming so far this season, and a lot of that has to do with Andy Dalton. As far as the Cleveland side of things, no Jarvis Landry this week. We'll see if we get Odell Beckham back. But, Derek, it's a team that has spread the ball around so much. I mean, I think they had 10, 11 guys get targets last week. We know Chubb, Hunt split a lot in this running game. So as exciting as it is that Justin Fields has arrived, do we want to use him in DFS? I'll go ahead and put my pick in first here. I'm going under in this game. I don't see a ton of points in this one. So I'll go under the 46.5. Spread sitting at, I believe it was 7.5 here for Cleveland, Derek. So best bet. And what are you doing from a DFS angle?
Best bet. I'm also going to go and take the under. I think both teams are going to want to run the ball. We mentioned Landry's out. Odell Beckham's banged up. Baker Mayfield has a shoulder injury he's dealing with. And, you know, they're home favorites. So I think they're going to lean on the run here. I don't mind Chubb, especially on a side like FanDuel that really rewards touchdowns. And I don't really want to play the passing game there. And then on the other side, I'm going to have some Fields and I'm going to have some Browns defense. I think, you know, two extremes there. I think he could turn the ball over. I think he could struggle. Or he could come out and, you know, have a really good first start. He ran the ball 10 times last week against Cincy. We love those dual threat quarterbacks. He's really cheap across the industry. So, yeah, I have interest in him. I don't really think you need to pair him, but, you know, Robinson would probably be the guy I would look to pair him with. But, yeah, I think it's interesting on both sides. Cleveland defense could force some turnovers, and I think he could have a nice game as well.
Yeah, 6,500 for Fields on FanDuel, Chop. Pretty good price there. We know the upside's there with his legs. So is that something you want to go to here? Are you going to take more of a sit and wait back approach here on Justin Fields? What are your thoughts here?
I've already seen a lot of chatter on Twitter about Justin Fields' preseason numbers and how good they were. You know how I feel about the old preseason stats. All right, let's pump the brakes there. Now he's going to face off against some real defenders here. But, I mean, it's interesting. On the Cleveland side, Baker just doesn't have any wide receivers right now with Jarvis out. And if Odell were to play, you know he's limited or else he wouldn't have been out the first 2 weeks of the year. So he's not 100%. They're going to have to grind the ball in the ground. So that's about all they can do, I think, with those limited wide receivers. And on the flip side, the Justin Fields insertion into a starting lineup, it goes one or the other. It either really rejuvenates his offense, helps him out, or it's really bad. He, like you guys say, turns the ball over multiple times and Cleveland blows him out because of it. So I'm going to lean towards Justin Fields doing okay in this start. And because Baker doesn't have the wide receivers, the offense is a little predictable. I'm going to take the Bears with the points here and think they can hold in there. If anybody for DFS, I'm with you guys on Allen Robinson. Maybe this snaps him out of it. Darnell Mooney's been really good, been getting a lot of targets. So those two guys are on the table. But, you know, I'm not really interested in a lot of other players in this game.
All right, let's move on to our next game. We have Baltimore traveling to Detroit. Baltimore, 7.5-point favorites here on the road. Big total at 49.5. Chop, Lamar Jackson, very impressive in that win against Kansas City. Kind of got the monkey off his back. I know Kansas City's been an issue for them. A hell of a fourth down call. You could see Harbaugh say, Lamar, do you want to go for it? Hell yes, I want to go for it. And they close out the game. So it's nice to see the analytics taking a forward-thinking approach here rather than some of these old-school guys that would have punted the ball and given Mahomes the opportunity to win that game. So a very impressive win for Baltimore. Lamar was great. Hollywood Brown playing great right now, Chop. Detroit gave my Packers a little bit of run. First half, had some buddies over, and they're all yapping and excited. The Lions are going to win. And then we really saw Aaron Jones step on their throat and get it done. So I think with Detroit, it's going to be a lot of garbage time. Big underdogs here again. Love Hockenson in the spot, Chop. I think there's certainly plays there. Love Lamar, Hollywood on the other side. What are we doing here? I think this could be a 50-pointer total here. I think this could be one of those games we definitely want to target here in week three.
Yeah, it's interesting with all the Baltimore defensive injuries. Like, I don't want to play I don't want to play Detroit players very much this year, but you got to consider them at home against a beat up defense that's coming off a very emotional win. So you know they're going to be maybe a little bit of a hangover there. And Goff has been respectable, my guy. Give him credit, man. I didn't think he had it in him, but he's been respectable. I mean, the two guys who are thriving here are the two running backs. They're getting like check down after check down, a lot of it in garbage time. So that's a good deal for. So I think they're all in play. Hockenson's obviously going to be in play week in and week out to roulette there at the wide receiver. And for Baltimore, was our boy Josh Duck. This is his favorite player on the week, Lamar Jackson. I mean, yep. Why not? He's got a 100-yard rushing game upside in him all the time. So I'm down with that. But I like Marquise Brown. Don't look now, but Marquise is actually putting up good numbers here finally. And we've been waiting for 2 years, 3 years now for it, and it's doing it. But Tyson Williams, I think he's explosive. He's young. He's got the fresh legs, looks good. He's getting some carries. And those were against some fair defenses. This is going to be a defense he can exploit. I like some Tyson Williams. And for the pick here, this is a tough
one. Do you want me to give mine first?
No, because I don't want to taint. I don't want to taint.
Okay. Mine's already locked in on the sheet.
Okay, what's yours?
I'm going over here. I just don't see Detroit being able to slow this offense down. You know, I think they're going to give up 30 points plus every single week, and I think their offense is good enough. Whether it's garbage time or not, they're going to be able to score some points here. I mean, Hockenson, think about that. The Ravens have had to deal with Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, and now TJ Hockenson, and they've been eaten up by the other two. I don't think Hockenson's that far off from those other two guys, and maybe that's a hot take, but I think he gives them problems here. I think Swift and Williams out of the backfield can be productive here. We've seen Quintez Cephas look pretty good here. I know he's been mentioned in the chat. Almost had the catch of the decade in that game against Green Bay. That would have been better than the Odell catch, in my opinion. Point is, I think there'll be points in this game. I don't think Lamar and company are going to struggle at all here. So I'm going to go over on this one.
Yeah, so this is just really tough. I can't even figure out what I want to do with this game. So I'm just going to say I'm going to go with the fact that Detroit could maybe slip in and bust this spread here at the end of the game, which is kind of what they've been trying to do the first 2 weeks. So give me Detroit plus the big points at home.
All right, Derek, a lot was said there on this game. So we got bets all over the board, fantasy plays all over the place. So bring us back together here. Your thoughts here, Ravens and Lions.
Yeah, you guys pretty much covered all the angles from a DFS perspective, but I agree on Lamar. I mean, he's a guy that he's game script proof because he runs the ball so much as a quarterback, and it's not scrambles either. They are designed runs, so even when they're up two scores, he's still going to be active in the fourth quarter. One of my favorite quarterback plays, I think Mark Andrews is sneaky. We haven't really seen him have that big game yet. And just one note on Detroit's side, DeAndre Swift, 16 targets through two games. So, you know, maybe Goff is checking down a lot more than Matthew Stafford did last year. And I agree with you, Beard. Give me the over. I think Baltimore is going to score a ton, and I think Detroit will do just enough to hit that over.
All right, two overs and a Detroit next game for us. We got Indianapolis and Tennessee, the Colts. A lot of injuries here, guys. We'll see. Carson Wentz not only sprains one ankle. How the hell do you sprain both ankles? That's impressive. I've sprained some ankles in my day playing basketball, but never both at the same time. So we'll see if it's Wentz or Jacob Eason, who we saw come in to relief. Tennessee, massive win. You know, and you got to give them credit. They were down 24-6 in that game, come all the way back to end up winning that one in overtime. Derrick Henry. Massive game, Derek. Those special Derrick Henry games where you got to have him was pretty low owned in that spot. Now I think you got to say probably going to be one of the more higher owned guys here on the slate as a home favorite. Are you on board with that? Are you worried about the matchup here? What else you got in this game, Indy and Tennessee?
Yeah, Derrick Henry, man. I was not expecting that game after they got down big early. I kind of thought it was going to be A.J. Brown and Julio making up a lot of those points, but didn't have any Henry. I think you just play him every single week, even especially when he's going to be low owned, because you can't really predict when those big games are going to happen. This certainly seems like a good spot. Through 2 weeks, Indy is 32nd in adjusted line yards, so the worst in the NFL. Should be a good spot for Henry. If you want to, you know, pivot, I don't mind going back to the passing game. AJ Brown, he leads the team in targets and air yards, so Julio's been a little bit more productive, but give me Brown if I'm choosing between the two. And then, yeah, Wentz, man, he's like my five-year-old. He's just always hurt. My little one, man, he's broken his elbow. He's broken his collarbone. He's had surgery a bunch of times. Anytime there's a kid crying on the playground, I automatically know it's mine. And that's Wentz, man. He just can't stay in the lineup. Anyway, Eason, I mean, he's going to be cheap, but I don't think I can go there. And if Wentz is out, I don't really like the receivers that much either. And then Jonathan Taylor, everyone's talking about him being a bust already. I'm not too worried about it, but you can't play him here. You're kind of big road underdogs. You know, Hines is going to have a lot of work in the passing game. So I'm pretty much off of the Indy side of things. Unless Wentz is active, then maybe a little bit of Pittman.
Yeah, Pittman looked great. A lot of people were writing him off after week one, so he responded. Zach Pascal's kind of an under the radar, pretty solid for them as well. I like Taylor. I agree with you, Derek. I don't know if you can use him in this spot. The guy I really like here, Chop, is A.J. Brown. I think a lot of people are going to go to Derrick Henry. I don't fault them, but in tournaments, we have to find a way to be different. So not only get leverage off of that, get leverage off the Julio people who are already trying to crown Julio as the wide receiver one there. A.J. Brown's struggled with some drops. I don't think that's something that we have to necessarily worry about moving forward. So he's probably my favorite play in this game. Chop, what do you got here? I'm going to go with Tennessee on the spread here. Derek, did you give a pick for this one?
What did I have here? Yeah, I went Tennessee as well. So
okay, so Chop, I need to get different. Is Chop going to hit the parlay here, or is he going to try to make up some ground on your boy? What do you got, Chop?
Oh, I was already penciling in Tennessee. It was just, if I could get a healthy Wentz here, then maybe I would think Indianapolis, because they're struggling right now, and they need to win a game, and I would think that maybe they could keep it close, but I just don't know if I believe in Jacob Eason. So I think that's a big, big benefit to Tennessee right there, and because of that, I'm not really on the Indy offense. Tennessee offense, I mean, it's hard to pick one guy here. They're all really good. I'm going to say Tannehill, I think, has – like we've always kind of seen it alternate some good Derrick Henry. Then you get your run of good, great Tannehill games, and he's got upside because of his legs too. So I'm on Tannehill here. I'm on the Tennessee offense. I'm on Tennessee, period. Give me Tennessee.
All right, add them to the parlay card here. We have Tennessee and New England so far. Both as favorites. And this may be one of those spreads you want to jump on now. I mean, if news comes out Carson Wentz doesn't play, you got to think this line probably goes up to about 7. So I think it's even if he does play, how healthy is he? I think Tennessee feeling confident after that big win. And the Colts really struggling here. So maybe a bet you want to jump on early in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Next game, guys, we got Atlanta, team that put up a fight to a point at Tampa Bay. And then kind of gave the game away, traveling to take on the Giants here. Chop, we'll start with you. And Daniel Jones might be my favorite quarterback of the week. It's some scary to say, but this guy's been damn good so far against much better defenses in Washington. We talked about earlier, Denver now gets an Atlanta defense who allows the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. And we've seen Jalen Hurts, Tom Brady light them up. He's been running, rushing touchdowns in both games. A lot of different cheap ways you can pair him up, whether you go Sterling Shepard, Galladay, who I really like. I think he bounces back in this one. I think Saquon could have a good game here. So, all in all, as you could tell, I'm on the Giants here. I like the under in the game, but I'm going to take the Giants, the -3 as far as our picks go. So, all the Daniel Jones for me, Chop. Talk me off the ledge here.
No, I can't. He's been good, and this is the easiest matchup he'll have. So I'm with you on the Daniel Jones thing. The only questions I have in this game are, is Saquon going to continue, you know, getting better and more healthy and more reps every week? Because if so, this would be a great matchup for him, and nobody's going to play him. Just he's been too, he's been too held under wraps so far this year for people to really play a lot of him. So Saquon, will he bounce back? And then Galladay versus Shepard. I want to know. I just don't know if the Shepard targets are real, or if Galladay is going to step up and be the wide receiver one. We know he should be and will be before it's all over with. So those are the only questions I have. I like the Giants too. I can't fade your pick right there. I want to, but I can't. I'm going to take the Giants. I'm interested in them. Atlanta, I don't have. I think they really overperformed last week. Now you travel again to New York. I don't like Atlanta at all, so I'm going Giants in fantasy and Giants on the spread.
quick thoughts, Chop, on this Mike Davis, Cordarrelle Patterson thing. Is this? I see the questions in the chat, so I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask. So he scores two touchdowns. He's going to be one of the hot waiver wire ads. We know that. Any interest here? The Giants defense actually been playing pretty well, so I don't have a ton of interest outside of maybe Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, just because the tight end position is so ugly. But I'm not sure about this running back split and something I want to dive into here in DFS. So quick thoughts there. I know you don't like the Falcons, but how do you see this playing out?
Yeah, I don't know if this is forward. However, I don't know if this is the week to play Mike Davis, but the two matchups so far, Philly and Tampa, two of the toughest run defenses you're going to find in the NFL. So I don't know if this is the week, though, with the Giants here. But when it all shakes out, Mike Davis will be the best back in his backfield by a wide margin, and it's only a matter of time. And it may be this week that he actually starts to get loose and gets in the end zone. So I don't hate that, but maybe we'll look for a better matchup down the road and people will jump on Patterson and we can take Mike Davis. Mike Davis is going to be the better guy before it's all said and done.
Beat Buzz in the chat asking about a Daniel Jones rushing prop. I tried to go look. Normally player props aren't available this early in the week, so I don't see anything here. But, I mean, I got to imagine it's probably in the 40s if I had to set a line. And I like the over in that. I think he's going to continue to run the ball here. I also, again, I think I mentioned it, but I really like Saquon as well. So as scary as it is, Derek, I'm going to have a lot of Giants. If I don't have Jones in the passing game, I want to work Saquon in, who – was much more involved last week. I think you're going to finally start to see him get going. And we knew this would be an issue. Two tough matchups to start the season. Now the schedule kind of opens up a little bit. Lots of Giants for me here in week three. What do you got?
Yeah, feels like the classic letdown spot. We all finally believe in the Giants, and then they just tank in a beautiful matchup at home. But I agree with you guys. Jones is looking really good against some tough defenses. Now gets a cupcake matchup. Galladay at 5,600 on FanDuel. That's certainly interesting. We do have to see if Evan Ingram's going to play. He could end up, you know, cutting into those guys' targets a little bit. But, yeah, Saquon looks like a great play. I think he ended up playing 60% of the snaps last week, up from 47 in week one. So I definitely prefer him over Mike Davis. And then, yeah, it feels like a Pitts week to me. I don't know. They got some good cornerbacks in New York, and maybe they can shut down Ridley. We know Falcons aren't going to be able to run the ball at all. So I like Pitts and then pretty much everyone on New York. And for that reason, I add it to the parlay card.
All right. We got a three-teamer brewing here. Giants, New England, and Tennessee so far on the parlay card. Next game, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, Derek. So, you know, two teams that know each other very well. You can kind of see that here reflected in the line. We got a -3 here for Pittsburgh, 43.5. Pittsburgh, maybe the biggest letdown of week two, Derek. I know the list can be lengthy sometimes, but the Raiders, it's either the Raiders are damn impressive or something's going on here with this Pittsburgh team, and we know what the issues are. Ben is washed. The offensive line is garbage. They lose Deontay Johnson in the last play. We'll see if he's going to be out. We haven't heard anything on that yet, but if he's out, maybe that's good news for Claypool or Juju. Najee Harris tried to make that work last week. He kind of saved his day with a touchdown, but it's been pretty ugly here. As for Cincinnati, no offensive line there either. So maybe it's the defenses here. For that reason, I think these two teams knowing each other well, I don't see a ton of offense in this game. I don't have a ton of interest in DFS here. I'm going to go under on this total, Derek. What do you got?
Yeah, I don't mind that call at all. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I got burned by him last week, so might as well go back to him this week. And, you know, Ben's hurt. Deontay's hurt. The quotes from Mike Tomlin, no idea if they're going to play. They're not to be – I can't remember what he said. But Big Ben, he said, we better be ready to be adjustable about Big Ben. And then Deontay said, doing better, but not to be confused with great. So we're going to have to keep an eye on both of those two. But I just think they take care of business at home. Cincinnati's kind of been, you know, keeping the wraps on Joe Burrow. He's only had 27 and 30 pass attempts the first 2 weeks. And I still believe in this defense. I know they didn't really show up last week, but give me Pittsburgh. And I'll go back to Najee Harris. Any guy that's playing 95 to 100% of snaps, I do think he's going to get checkdowns, especially if Big Ben's back there. So I'll go back to him. On the other side, I just don't really know what to do with them not throwing the ball a bunch. The Bengals, that is. It's hard for these three receivers to really, you know, all succeed in the same week. So I think I'm going to be avoiding them. And Mixon's a guy that you can play due to volume. I think these are two of the highest volume running backs you're going to find all week. So don't hate the idea of playing them, even though we usually don't like to pair, you know, opposing running backs.
Derek and Chop, you're going to get the same question, but Derek, I'll stay with you here. How do you think the ownership's going to look on Najee Harris? It's been, you know, week one, everyone was excited, kind of let people down. Week two was pretty popular, in a good spot. And yes, he scored a touchdown, but didn't really do what people wanted him to do there. Do you still think people go back to the well? Because it is a fair price, and you're right. He's going to get all the work. People know that. We know this community gets smarter and smarter every year. So is the ownership still going to be as high as we saw last week? Do you think people bail for some other spots? How do you think that plays out here in week three?
So much of ownership is projections-based these days. You know, everyone builds their lineups based on their projections. They sort by the point per dollar. They're on Lineup HQ. And, you know, Najee currently rates out as like a top six guy on both sides. So I think he's going to be fairly popular, but not nearly as popular as last week.
All right, Chop, same question to you. Are you interested in Najee Harris? Where do you think the ownership lands? Your favorite bet out of this game? And what are you doing DFS-wise here, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati?
I mean, it's a decent enough matchup for him, but, like, I'm not a huge Najee guy this year because of the offensive line. If he gets into the end zone, he's going to have those good weeks. When he doesn't find the end zone, he will not get you there with his yardage. We just won't get you there. So, this is a good matchup for him, though. As far as Cincinnati, I want to scratch them off my list, but Pittsburgh is struggling on defense with injuries. T.J. Watt's probably going to be out. The last week they had two big-time defenders get scratched there and become inactive on Sunday morning. That's a big deal right there. Maybe that led to some of that, you know, upset last week at home. So I want to scratch Cincy off the list, but it's hard to with those injuries. I'll say this much. They need to protect Joe Burrow. You know what could protect Joe Burrow is a really good left tackle. And they went for Ja'Marr Chase. And I beat this drum before, but I read a stat the other day and it made me think about Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. The guy who they could have got, Sewell from Oregon, he hasn't allowed a sack while he's been playing left tackle. He hasn't allowed a sack since 2018. That'll be a real nice piece in front of Joe Burrow to protect him, but they don't have it. So because of that, they're always going to struggle against teams that can get pressure. Pittsburgh can. It just depends on the injuries here. So kind of the ballpark. I don't know about that one just yet. For Pittsburgh, I do think they bounce back big time here. Ben's going to have a good game because he had a poor game last week. I think he's going to take it upon himself. If we get Deontay limited or out, that's great for Juju, great for Chase. That cuts it down even more. Maybe even help Freiermuth. So watch out for that as a sleeper tight end. And all in all, I think I'm taking Pittsburgh at home here to cover the spread.
Yeah, I like the Freiermuth call. We saw him run more routes than Eric Ebron last week. So maybe the changing of the guard there, a cheap tight end play. A tight end is so limited, and it can be tough to fit Kelsey, especially on DraftKings sometimes. So don't hate that Freiermuth call at all. All right, let's finish out the 1 o'clock window. Then we'll take a look back at some of the best finishers in our OGs contest. Again, if you just joined us, FanDuel.com/OG, single entry contest, $7 with a season-long leaderboard. So it'll be fun. We can highlight it each week, take a look at who's doing well. Somehow, DB 730 there in the top 12. So we got to change that. So make sure you get your entries and we can knock Dan down the board a little bit here as we move forward. So last game in the early window, Chop, we got Arizona -7.5 here traveling to take on Derek's Jacksonville Jaguars. Big total here at 51.5. Chop, Arizona, been impressive. Kyler Murray, probably the leader in the clubhouse right now for MVP. We saw Rondale Moore really shine last week, starting to become more and more part of that offense. Hopkins, a down game for him last week, but still a big part of that offense. So lots of ways you can go with Arizona. Jacksonville, not so much. It's tough on that side. We saw Laviska Shenault banged up. Chark's really not been a part of that offense. I like Marvin Jones a lot, especially on some of the sites where he's cheaper, under 5K over on DraftKings, but not a lot here to love with Jacksonville, Chop. Is this just a runaway for Arizona, and who are some of your favorite pieces on that side?
Yeah, I think my favorite piece from this game is Chase Edmonds. I think this is the Chase Edmonds touchdown game. Everything's been Kyler Murray so far, and I think in this matchup, Chase kind of falls in there a couple times in the end zone. So I'm going Chase Edmonds, but obviously anytime Arizona plays, Murray and his top three receivers are always in play to be stacked. So he got that going for it. Jacksonville, I think, is actually competitive and competent on offense here. I just can't play any of them because, you know, they don't want to turn James Robinson loose. And if Chenault plays, you got three wide receivers you got to worry about. And but I do think Trevor Lawrence is getting a little bit better, a little bit better. I think he can put up points here. And that's why I'm going to take the over in this game. I just don't really feel like I want to burn any rosters by taking a shot on any of these wide receivers or running backs.
All right. Again, I like Jones, Derek. It's your team. I think he's been phenomenal. 20 targets over the first 2 weeks. Clearly has that rapport with Trevor Lawrence, and still too cheap in some of these spots. So am I crazy there? Arizona, Chase Edmonds, definitely not going to be very highly owned. Everyone's got the Kyler Murray fever. I think Rondale Moore will be a very popular value play coming off his big game last week. So how are you handling this game, Derek? I'm going to go under on the total chop. I just think – I don't know that Jacksonville can do enough offensively here. Pretty big number. Derek, your thoughts here, favorite bet. And from a DFS perspective, what do you got?
So when the Jags drafted Lawrence, I knew he was going to lead the NFL in a stat, a passing stat. I just knew it. I was just hoping it wasn't going to be the uncatchable rate. It's at 34%, by far the highest in the NFL. He looked brutal last week against the Broncos, but – hey, he's playing at home against a pretty beatable, pass defense. Their best cornerback retired right before the season started. So I don't mind going to Marvin Jones. I like that call. Chark's kind of their deep threat. I don't mind going to him in tournaments too. And with no O'Shaughnessy, I think that opens up some targets for, all three of the receivers. So I like that. James Robinson up to a 73% snap share last week. So he's kind of back to being that full-time guy. He's the better pass catching back too. I don't hate him on FanDuel at 5,500. And Arizona, yeah, I mean, we know Kyler, Hopkins, both great options every week. Rondale Moore up to 46% snap rate. I like that because when he's on the field, they're just going to give him the ball. They have so many plays designed for him. So if his playing time is going to go up, you got to think his targets are going to go up too. And I like the Edmonds call from Chop. If he breaks a long one, which you can certainly do against the Jags, he could have a big game.
All right, let's take a quick look back at our OG's contest for week two. And Jay Malero, the guy that sits atop the standings. No wonder he's sitting atop the standings, guys. This guy put up 206.5 on FanDuel. He won this contest by 36 points. I mean, absolute smash. Had all the pieces you need in week two. Had Derrick Henry. Had Kyler Murray. Had Cooper Kupp, Buffalo defense. I mean, a very, very nice lineup here for Jay Malero. So he took down first place, a big time $500 win there. GKB 11 in second place with 170.92. TS 350 in third, 4794 took down fourth. And Bamboozler 77 fifth place. And I see a familiar name here, boys. Brasky, who better known as founder of Roto Grinders, Cal Spears in the top 10. In the OG's contest. So not only get to play against us, Chop, you get a little action with DB730, Brasky, a lot of familiar names here. So, again, get your entries into this contest. We want to fill this baby this week. Only 500 spots, so get out there and reserve your spot. So any thoughts here on week two or on the leaderboard here, Chop? Are you trying to find our names as you?
I'm not. No, I was looking to see where Cal was in the overall ranking. Oh, he had a rough first week like us, but boy, he bounced back there the second week. So that's what these things are, man. You can pull yourself up the standings in 1 week. So yeah. Oh, look at Yisman. Yisman's a Discord guy. He's always right, in awesome. The Discord. So yeah, man. It's a fun contest. Everybody loves a good single entry. You add a little extra money to it, a little season-long feel to it. It's good stuff.
Yep, and again, only your top 10 scores count. So even if you had a rough week one, you missed a couple weeks, doesn't matter. Come compete against us and some of your other favorite Roto Grinders personalities. All right, guys, let's move on to the afternoon slate here. Next game up for us, we got Miami traveling to Las Vegas. We got news today, Chop. Tua going to be out for this game against the Raiders. Which means Jacoby Brissett and company here. They get Will Fuller back in that lineup. Do we trust Brissett enough to do anything here in this matchup with Vegas? As far as the Raiders side, you got to be impressed with Derek Carr and his start to the season here. Been outstanding against two very good teams. Now gets a matchup with Miami. We saw exposed last week. Gave up 35 to Buffalo. Are you interested in Carr here? Do you think it was just the two-week kind of abnormality. What are your thoughts here in this one, Raiders and Dolphins?
I mean, we've seen this from John Gruden's Raiders here before in the last couple of years. Like, you think they're really bad on paper. This, the roster just doesn't look good, but he has them competing. They compete, you know, every year, every game. They're pretty hard to put away. So I give them credit, but I don't think it keeps up. I don't think it keeps up in this game as much. So I think there's a little bit of a letdown here. You're always going to play Darren Waller. You know, you're always going to have him on your list. But rest of those guys, I don't know how interested I am on that one. For the Dolphins, Jacoby Brissett, I think, really brings down the offense here. I watched him last week in that game. Well, he just didn't have it passing the ball. I guess he could always get out of the pocket and run a little for you, but I think his passing is going to bring everybody down that's a pass catcher. So maybe I go to Jaylen Waddle on some short passes that he can maybe break loose for run after the catch. But as far as getting the ball downfield, I'm out on all the receivers, receiving options for Miami because of Brissett. So not a big fan of this game in general for fantasy purposes. So because of that, it's a low number, but I'm going under that 45.5.
I like the under as well. I don't like anything in this game. I agree with you on Brissett. It's a three-headed monster at running back there. Even the Raiders, you know, I thought it'd be Kenyon Drake season last week, and it's Peyton Barber basically splitting the load with him. We saw a big game from Henry Ruggs. Not really buying that either. Bryan Edwards has been spotty at best. I think Waller probably really the only play I like in this game, Derek. I think it could kind of be an ugly kind of struggles to get to that total. So, Derek, did you give a pick for Jacksonville, Arizona? I must have missed it.
Yeah, I tried with my Jags in week one. I'm officially off them the rest of the year. Give me Arizona.
Okay. So, and now back to this one. Let's see. Chop, you went under. I went under. Derek, what do you got for a pick here in this one?
I'm going to go with Miami. I like them to win this game. Plus, we're getting 4 points here. So I like that quite a bit. Darren Waller, really the only guy I would look to. Miami's known for their, you know, great cornerbacks. And so Waller over the middle, I think that makes a ton of sense. 26 targets through the first 2 weeks. And, yeah, like you guys, I don't like anything on Miami's side.
All right, let's move on. Next game, we have the Jets traveling to Denver. Speaking of an ugly game here, definitely ugly in this one. Denver, big 10.5. Home favorites here, Derek. Low total at 41.5. Kind of a tale of two teams. We've seen the Jets struggle here. New England kind of handled Zach Wilson, 4 interceptions in that game. Well, now let's face another good defense here in the Denver Broncos. Denver been impressive, even with the loss of Jerry Jeudy, have gotten it done. But DFS, can you find anything here in a 41.5? We saw Sutton have the big game against your Jags. I think Noah Fant is interesting here as well. The running backs, tough to really pull the trigger with the split, basically right down the middle, Derek, between Gordon and Javonte Williams. So Jets, I think we're probably all out on, unless you have something that I'm not seeing. But Denver, is there anything that stands out here in this low total game?
Completely out on the Jets. Crowder's probably going to be back too, so that hurts Davis and Elijah Moore. Broncos side, it was at least a 60-40 split at the running back last week. Melvin Gordon ended up getting a little bit more work, so something to keep an eye on. I don't think I'll go there since, you know, it's a pretty big slate. We got plenty of options. Sutton, yeah, monster game, but I don't really know if they're going to need to air it out all that much in this one. So I like Fant. You know, he's a threat to score each and every week, but for the most part, give me Denver defense and give me – oh, man, that's a high spread. Give me the under. I don't know if New York's going to be able to score.
I'm going under here as well. I think this could be one of those 17-3 type games here. So Denver wants to keep it slow. Like you said, they can run the ball. I don't see Zach Wilson coming into Denver and lighting it up here, Chop. So under for me as well, another ugly game. What do you got?
Teddy Two Gloves, as Matt says in chat. The Teddy Two Gloves. Yeah, I don't like the Jets at all. I don't really like the Broncos at all very much either. So maybe Cortland Sutton is a guy who got a lot of air yards last week. One of my favorite stats, the air yards.
Oh, air yards. first air yards for Chop.
He was the air yards master last week, so maybe that converts to some touchdowns this week. But not a big fan of the offenses here. Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think the under here, it's a low number, but what are the Jets really going to get against a pretty good defense? I don't think very much.
All right, 3 for 3 in the under. So add it to the parlay card. I'll recap that when we finish up here 2 games to go on the DFS OGs podcast, talking everything Week 3. Next game we have Tampa Bay and the Rams. This one should be fun, Chop. Tampa Bay riding high off of 2 big wins. The Rams have looked fantastic here to open the season as well. Cooper Kupp maybe the fantasy MVP so far this season. So does this continue, Chop? I think this is a good point. Do we continue to ride Cooper Kupp? The prices seem too cheap. Stafford clearly has a rapport for him. Do we go to Robert Woods, who's not been terrible? He just has him in his lights out, as Cooper Kupp. Can we go back to Tyler Higbee, who we know plays a ton of snaps, but didn't do a lot in Week 1? And then we obviously have the Daryl Henderson injury to keep an eye on. But this Tampa team's so tough against the run. As for Tampa news today, Antonio Brown placed on the COVID list. So scratch him off the list. Chop, is that good for Evans, Godwin, both? Or do we see somebody emerge from the shadows? Maybe a Scotty Miller, a Tyler Johnson, one of those guys kind of show up here in this game.
Yeah, lots of moving parts here. There's a lot of questions, like you said. So I'll just get into it and say Tampa against a good defense here. There's a chance I think this is a major, major letdown spot here, and Tampa gets beat outright by a pretty good margin. I can really see that because Tom Brady, even last year, you know, had those games where he was just bad and they got blown out on a couple of occasions. So, yeah, I think Antonio Brown being out, I could bump up Godwin. I think Mike Evans is going to be the primary guy that gets the Jalen Ramsey treatment. So I'm going to bump up Godwin. Maybe you bump up a Scotty Miller or something like that. Just not a big fan of this offense this week in general. And then the Rams, like you said, running backs, don't want the running backs against Tampa. I don't think this is the matchup you want to play around with. At some point, they will get Robert Woods going. They'll take a game and say, this is a Robert Woods game. But against Tampa, you can't pick and choose like that. You're going to have to go with the best matchup. The best matchup is Cooper Kupp. So he's in play. The others are not. Tyler Higbee coming off of a game. He absolutely should have dominated against the Colts. Went out there and got like one reception. Terrible, terrible. This could be the bounce back game for him. So I'm keeping Kupp and Higbee in the mix here, but not a big fantasy. It's a 55.5, and I just don't get it because I think these defenses are good enough to really make the other offenses work. So I want to take the under, but I'm not. I'm going to take the Rams because I think the Rams win this game, and I think it's by more than a touchdown. So. And I'm getting points. So I'm taking the Rams here.
A little sprinkle on the money line for you too, Chop.
Money line's not even juicy enough, but
yeah,
you know,
well,
hey,
it'll be minimal at best.
Yeah, but if you want to, go for it.
All right, I do like the under here. Like I agreed completely that this number seems pretty high. I think Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and company can do enough to slow Tom Brady down a little bit. I know he's been fantastic to open the year, but been pretty two easy matchups as well, Derek. So. A little bit more of a test in this one. And yes, you can't run against Tampa Bay, but I think the Rams are going to do their best to slow this game down. I agree. Cooper Kupp continues to be a fantastic play. I'm still going to play Woods and Higbee, Derek. Am I crazy here?
No, not at all. The Stafford double stack might be my favorite of the week. I like Woods. I like Higbee and I like Cooper Kupp. Teams don't even try to run the ball on Tampa. You know, Zeke had like 8 carries. Mike Davis had 9 carries last week. They got the best run defense in the NFL. So, I think they're going to air it out. I think we see big games from Stafford and all of his wideouts. And then my bring it back, I agree with Chop. It's going to be Chris Godwin. I think Evans is going to get the treatment from Jalen Ramsey. And then whether Brown's active or not, doesn't really matter to me. I think they're going to, you know, he likes to find a matchup that he can exploit. And I think that's going to be in the slot. And to bring back an old segment, my third and wrong so far this season has been Gronk. I mean, 4 touchdowns already. I thought they were going to ease him back into action, and I was clearly wrong about that. So I don't hate going back to Gronk. I don't think anybody's going to play him. Nobody played him again last week, even though, you know, he keeps having these big games.
Oh, yeah, he can't score 2 touchdowns every single game. We know Tom Brady's going to look for him. You take Antonio Brown out of that offense, and they're going to continue to push the ball there. So Matt Corsetti, Scotty Too Hotty Miller says in the chat, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be some value with either him or Johnson. So not going to go crazy with it, but definitely with as much as they like to throw the ball, I think you can sprinkle those guys in for sure here. So, Derek, what's your official bet on this game? Got Tampa Bay -1.5, 55.5 on the total.
Rams are gonna roll.
Rams to look at you guys, man. I'm wondering here if I'm on the wrong bet now. Both you guys pretty confident in the Rams under 55 and a half for me. All right, last game, another fun one. Seattle and Minnesota. A Seattle road favorites here, minus 1.5, another 55 and a half. So Derek, very reminiscent of last week. All these big totals in the late windows. Definitely want to utilize your late swap features if you're not doing that. But I'm going to go first here. I like Minnesota to win this game at home. Dalvin Cook is my favorite play on the week. We saw what Derrick Henry did to the Seattle defense. Even Jonathan Taylor wasn't terrible in week one, but there's not many backs like Dalvin Cook, Derek, that are going to get so many touches, 25 per week over the first 2 weeks of the season. I think he smashes here. I know there's some injury concerns. Is he 100%? I think all that's going to do is help us out in the ownership department here with Dalvin Cook. So give me the Vikings. Give me Dalvin Cook. Obviously, guys like Jefferson, Thielen in play. Osborne's been a nice value play. Seattle, you know the characters over there. Lockett's been a monster. Metcalf should be due up for a big game here. This one, another one. That doesn't take a genius. Ton of good plays in this one, Derek. Who are you highlighting here out of this game?
Yeah, you can play everybody. I like the Dalvin Cook call. Shout out to the chat last week for bringing up Osborne. You know, we weren't really talking about him. They spent 10 minutes talking about this guy. Ended up having another nice game. I'll still go to Justin Jefferson. I think he's primed for a breakout game. He's seen the targets. He's had the red zone looks. He just needs to put it all together, and I think it happens at home. But I like Dalvin. I'm fine with anyone on both sides, really. And I'm hoping Minnesota can build a lead. Then we can see Russ cook. And if not, I mean, Chris Carson's getting a ton of work right now. When he's healthy, he's a really good running back. He gets some usage in the pass game as well. So you can play all the guys. And because of that, I'm going to take the over.
All right. Yeah, Carson was good to me last week. Couple touchdowns. Wish you had more yardage in that game. But Chop, Lockett's been fantastic. Is this one where we go to Metcalf with probably all the ownership going to Lockett? And then Dalvin Cook, are you as high on him as I am, or are you going to the passing game here with the Vikings?
As far as the Metcalf, like, he looked hurt last week. He looked banged up. I don't know if he's on the injury report or not, but he didn't look healthy. And because of that, I can't go to him if he's not healthy. So, Tyler Lockett is, he's overachieving in my, you know, from what we've seen in the past. So I don't think that's going to hold up. So it's tough right there. I don't know how interested I am. As Seattle, I think, could get behind in this game and Russell could start to cook there with about 20 minutes left in the game and do what he does. And, you know, all these big numbers could happen because of that, but not interested in him that much because of that injury. For Minnesota, tough one. I could see it going either way, the running or the passing. I think I'm leaning towards Justin Jefferson this week, breaking out. So I think I'm going more passing here. We're back at home. The Minnesota defense is going to be much better back at home. The Justin Jefferson is going to, I think, get back on track here, back at home. Kirk Cousins is usually pretty good at home, so I'm going with that passing game. That leads me to Minnesota. I think Minnesota wins this game outright also.
All right, Minnesota. So the final parlay card for everyone keeping track at home. New England, minus 3. All three of us like that one. We are all on Tennessee, minus 5.5 at home against Indy. All on the Giants, minus 3 at home against Atlanta. And on the under, 41.5 in that Jets-Denver game. So a little four-teamer for you guys this week. So before we get out of here, guys, how about your favorite play of the week? Something I want to start incorporating here as we close the video. So, Chop, you got somebody fired up. Your absolute stone-cold favorite play of the week. Who do you got?
Yeah, man. So, man, there's some good plays this week. I think I'm sticking in this Giants-Atlanta game because I think Atlanta could be had on defense quite a bit, and they're led down after they put it all on the table against Tampa Bay. So I think I'm with you when you mentioned earlier Daniel Jones. I think he's going to run for a bunch. I think Daniel Jones is going to have a big day. And when he does it through the air, I think the stack partner for me is going to be Galladay. That's just a little bonus on the Kenny Galladay. But Daniel Jones, I think, is the guy because he's finally using his legs.
Yeah, I recorded my video a little earlier this afternoon, and you're going to see those two guys in there, Chop. We're in lockstep here. I think Shepard's the guy most people will go to. I'm fine with that in cash games. But I think Galladay really gets it going here. And squeaky wheel narrative as well. Wasn't happy with Jason Garrett. So really like those guys. Jones was my pick as well. Dalvin Cook is a guy I love this week, Derek. So I know it's a higher-end guy, but since Chop stole Daniel Jones from me, I'm going to go Dalvin Cook, my favorite play here. Derek, close us out. Favorite play here for week three.
I like both calls. I'm going to go with the Stafford double stack with the Godwin bring back. So you get a little bit of a game stack there. And then for betting, I'm going to go Miami picks up the win on the road against the Raiders.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. To the chat, thank you for all the discussions, the questions. You guys were great. As always, thank you to the fine folks over at FanDuel for sponsoring the show. Guys, don't forget, go and reserve your entry. No one's expecting to have a lineup ready here on Wednesday. Go in there. You can reserve your spot. Come back and fill it out. Only 500 spots available in this contest. $7 single entry. Come play against us. FanDuel.com/OG. Scoresandodds.com for all of your sports betting needs. And we'll obviously have tons more content over at RotoGrinders as we close in on Sunday, guys. Final thoughts for the people here, Derek. What do you got?
No, yeah, just support us by joining this single entry contest. We don't want to look bad by not filling it up. So, you know, us three aren't going to be any sort of competition. You just got to pull up that leaderboard. You have to click Control F if you want to find our names. There we are, way down there. So, yeah, just come play with us. It's fun. And thanks for watching.
Week three, I think we all get it going here. So we're about to charge up that leaderboard. But I agree, that's the way you come support the show. Put in a lot of effort to get this contest going. So let's fill this baby up and thank the sponsor here, FanDuel. Again, FanDuel.com/OG. Chop, final thoughts here for the people, week three.
I'm stoked. We got week three football coming up. 2 days from now, I got a Costco opening up right down the street. I'm ready for that. I already got my Costco card and everything. I'm ready for the churros and the pizza. It's going to be a good week over here, man.
Don't discount those hot dogs at Costco.
Let's get it.
You going to get that big jug of M&M's? We know you're a plain M&M guy.
I've been holding off on buying M&M's online just so I could get it in person when this thing opens.
Nothing like a Costco. I swear, you go in there, we need two things, leave, spend $500 like that. No problem. So have fun at the Costco. Chop, should be lots of freebies for you to grab walking around as well, all the little samples. So, again, thank you to FanDuel. Thank you to the chat. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Good luck this week. For Chop, for Notorious, I am Beer saying salut. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next week.